We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Light Years Podcast, we are back. Sam Esfandiari, Andy Liu. We are here to talk about who the Warriors can get for Kevin Durant this offseason. Oh, no, by midseason.
Man, I'm trying to watch the end of this Rams-Chiefs game. By the time this is out tomorrow, I'm sure everyone knows who won. But what's up with the football and the NBA just being 150 to 150 every game?
What's that NBA rule that they call? What do they call it this year? Where like you can't touch someone or something?
Freedom of motion.
Freedom of motion. Yeah, that's the NFL. Freedom of motion. On all
like
plays.
Do you like it? Where it's like so skewed towards the offense.
I agree with you. I think there needs to be some. You got to give the defense some kind of chance. Like it almost feels like unless you're a great defensive player, you almost can't play defense.
You mean like a Khalil Mack? Like,
Aaron Donald, right?
Yeah, why would you trade a guy like that?
That's your team.
What was I going to say? Yeah. I'm still curious. This goes for the NBA, but I guess also the NFL. If they'll actually call it this pro offense in the playoffs. Because like I kind of suspect they're going to call this freedom of movement stuff for the NBA during the regular season. But when it's playoff time, you're going to be allowed to assault Steph off ball.
Yeah, that's kind of like how it's kind of like in the NFL too, right? Like all of a sudden the New Orleans Saints or right. like those Peyton Manning offenses. And I mean, these two that we're watching right now, the Chiefs and the Rams, you're probably going to watch these guys struggle a lot in the postseason. Didn't they lose that first game too?
You're
right. I mean, that's a great point. That's kind of the issue with the Warriors offense, right? Like it's great when Steph is in for the regular season, but then like come postseason, all that little off the ball stuff is less, it's less free, right? Because they can just like Richard Jefferson smack them.
Particularly since all the good, not all the good teams, but most of the teams are trending towards like, we'll just get a bunch of wings. Like forget having, a Blake Griffin type having to switch on to Steph. We'll get a bunch of guys like, PJ Tucker, Al-Farouq Aminu, like guys like that, which is a good counter.
You know, which I still think like end of the day doesn't matter when you got to go against Steph and KD. The only problem is like it's kind of like how predictable do the Warriors want to be, because it's not like they really changed the offense. We haven't seen them really like
they change lineups, but they don't really change any schemes or any plays. They kind of just like
so let's
down with what they have.
So let's go into that. Is this the first 0-3 road trip of the Kerr era? I mean, it has to be. I can't think of any other time Kerr's just had.
He's lost three in a row before, right? Or the Warriors have. It's just not on the road. So yeah. I guess that's fair. I think they've lost three in a row before. But yeah, I mean, in a way, that's just ugly too, right? I guess that's the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it's – so Houston's kind of refound their mojo. My boy Jimmy Enes told you he could replace Ariza. The Dallas one was – they should have took that one. They left that one on the table.
That was bad.
And then the Spurs, it was exactly what I expected, but shorthanded Warriors team versus the Spurs to be just very ugly 1995 basketball. But yeah, I mean, it's been unwatchable. It's really strange. We're now 18 games in and Clay's still shooting 32%
from
three.
Listen, the people read Sam's tweets. You're calm right now. You sound calm, but give it to me, dude. You are pissed. You're pissed about this offense.
Yeah. So let's go into it. My thing is it's devolving into just mid-range jumpers without Steph. Like, the offense doesn't create spacing nearly the way people claim it does. Steph creates spacing. Steph takes three bodies with him and creates all this room. And then, by the way, Steph pushes the tempo. Steph is a point guard, no matter how much certain people want to claim he's not the point guard. We watched him do this with Draymond Green without Steph. I didn't see any ball movement for this is for those people who claim Draymond's the true point guard of the team. Steph's the one who gets the ball popping. Like, everything he does, like, he makes quick decisions. He gets them out in transition. He plays a lot of give and goes with people. And so without him, it looks like a fancy version of Phil Jackson's Knicks. Honestly,
I mean, it's plays like, dude, when I played high school, we had no offensive freaking talent. So we ran a motion offense all day, and we ran like box sets, and we ran like four high. Dude, you see Kevon Looney get the ball on that free throw line extended a little bit, and he's running like a dribble handoff to Andre Iguodala to pass to Sean Livingston. What the, like, what is that? You know what I mean, right? Like, there's nothing there. There's no spacing. And, like, that's the good thing about Steph, right? Because when Steph gets rid of the ball, he allows someone like Draymond or Iguodala, who don't provide any spacing, he allows them to, like, be that passer and not stand in a corner and attract, like, three people to one person, which is what's happening right now. I mean, it's ugly.
It's rough. And, you know, I go back to the Steph thing. It is interesting how he can be a one man spacer. Because most teams, like Milwaukee's a good example. Milwaukee, they got Brooke Lopez shooting threes. They told Middleton to shoot more threes. They put Brogdon in the starting lineup. Like, they put a lot of guys focused on shooting. The Warriors really just got to have Steph out there.
Well, hey, listen, but keep in mind this part, because I do want to push back on that, is that they built this team to say, hey, we've got Steph, we've got Clay, we've got enough shooting. We want to build this, like, crazy defense, right? This all wing right. switch defense. And so if you do that, you kind of can't have it both ways, kind of. But
right. I mean, they have a lot of,
but it's still tough. Yeah.
Iguodala is the perfect example. Steph will pass to Iguodala and relocate, and he'll find him every time. If you don't have a guy relocating, you're just kind of passing to Iguodala, who doesn't want to shoot, you know? And that's like a lot of the Warriors roster, you know, like Jordan Bell does that. You know, we remember in the playoffs when they did like the pass to Jordan Bell, then threw the legs to Steph. Like, it's a lot of guys who kind of just want to be vessels to move the ball.
Yeah. And and KD's more traditional in that he'll pass it and hey, you do your thing, or you pass it, he'll watch you do a pick and roll. And his first instinct, which him as a, you know, a greatest scorer as he is, his first instinct is not, hey, I got to relocate. Like, that's not his instinct, and that's fine.
And
but
there's a secondary part. KD is athletic, but KD's 7 foot. He's not quick. Steph cuts off dimes really fast. You know, like he can cut left, can cut right, and relocate fast. KD's a guy who, I mean, you can't expect a guy that size to cut like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
So that's where the non-changing the offense thing is frustrating. Now, but you have a theory on why Kerr won't do it. So let's go into that.
Oh, which one is this one?
Basically about him trying to get everyone on, you know, his page and kind of get the drama out, like make it worse so it gets better.
Yeah, I think I say this half facetiously, and I think because you say this all the time, and that's kind of what got me thinking about it. You say that Steve Kerr is someone that, you know, Phil Jackson this, Phil Jackson that, right? And Greg Popovich. The thing is that I'm thinking about is he's seen it all. So, like, if he's seen it all, he's thinking of ways, and he's a huge philosophy person, right? So he's thinking of ways to create drama for this team so they're not bored, or creating new ways and forecasting what's going to happen and saying, well, I see that Draymond's pissed. I see that Draymond's not having it. We want to nip this in the bud right now. We want to make sure that we suspend him in November so that this doesn't come back to bite us in April, right? In November, none of this matters. They lose 4 games in a row, 3 games, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And they want it to be, we don't, because he doesn't want to go for 74, right? And they keep winning. They're happy. That's not something he wants. That's something like that. He doesn't want 2016 all over again. So he's like, okay, we make this tough now. And as Andre Iguodala says, you can't climb the mountain if it's smooth or something like that. I don't know what he said. But his point is, if it's too easy, right, then where's the fun? Or if it's too easy, then all of a sudden when it becomes hard, you're not ready for it. So I think that's something that he thinks about because he's seen Jackson, he's seen Jordan, he's seen Popovich, he's seen all these great dynasties and how they've fallen. I think he's trying to get ahead of it, which is something that only a coach and a player with experience like that can think about.
Absolutely. I don't want to get too ahead of it because we have a guest coming on who's going to be perfect to talk to this about.
Well, before we get him on, should I do my
tell him about the money you won this weekend.
So I still got game on this Chiefs Rams game, but before this ends, let's talk about how much money I've been doing. All right, so watching football is fun, like this ridiculous regular season Jared Goff versus Mahomes duel that we've
both
got right
Steph
now.
Stands.
A lot of Steph fans, but it's even more entertaining when you've got action on the games, right? So you've heard me talking about for the last 2 weeks, and some of you still are on the sidelines. So whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little bit and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. You can essentially bet on, you know, Draymond yelling at KD and the Warriors losing. If both happen, you win. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. So there's so much to bet on. College basketball, you can do a little Zion Williamson. Got some football. NBA, NHL, got some San Jose Sharks. Custom props, and even esports, you name it. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. So I recommend these guys because I trust them. MyBookie has been business for years. They've got great online reviews. Their mobile site is easy to use, right? You can do it anywhere. You can download the app, whatever it is that you want. Sign up this week and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and every DM. Not to mention that they've given more than 10,000 in free money to their followers this season. So you'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. So don't miss out on the best week to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now, use promo code BLUEWIRE, and get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, so now we have Marcus Thompson on, The Athletic 8. So I want to tell a little story. So with a lot of, like, writers and people who, you know, do online writing, right, not even newspapers, a lot of the times people say, hey, look, I read this guy, right? And they'll be like, I don't know who that guy is. The last couple months, like, people, when people talk to me about the Warriors, I'm like, hey, you read Marcus Thompson's article? And they're like, yeah, I know Marcus. I'm like, wait, what? So now Marcus is that kind of famous now. He's not just like online writing famous. He's like famous. Welcome to the show,
sir. Whoa, so that means maybe I shouldn't be doing light years.
This is beneath you.
I know. Have I ascended to the point where I don't do this show? Wow. I did get a call from Cowherd, even though I missed it.
Were you going to be on like ESPN or not? What is he, a Fox Sports? Were you going to be on TV too and all of that?
Nah, he just hit before radio hit and I didn't even see it. I got flooded.
Choked. Somehow he's like the biggest Steph guy now.
He is, right? I don't know. Him and Ryan Russo, they're huge.
I saw that too. Like both of those guys kind of just go on pods and like their new thing is just like calling Steph like the greatest player in the game or the greatest leader or all this stuff that like me and Sam didn't even think about. And we're sitting here like, dang, what's the point of us being around here then?
I figure they found the words of Ethan Strauss, the market inefficiency and took over it. So you've been ousted, buddy. You're done here.
Our new thing and why we have you on is to talk about KD though. So me and Sam have at this point we have a love-hate relationship on how we view Kevin Durant. But we're here to get your thoughts.
People are sick of hearing us talk about it. KD has a love-hate relationship with everyone. So that's just kind of where we're at right now. Is this the first time you've had to work in 4 years, Marcus, with this team? Finally interesting.
It's been fantasy, right? And now this is the real NBA. This is actually kind of, I don't want to say it's a little bit boring, but it's riveting drama, except it's so messy. Like, I kind of like the regular basketball drama. It feels very old Warriors to me. And ooh. I'm starting to get flashbacks of like, ooh, are we going back here? Are we stepping back? I like the should you run pick and roll, who should run the offense drop. I like that better.
Wait, that means that's a really bad thing if we're talking about old school Warriors drama.
I mean, I remember locker rooms where players weren't talking to each other. Can you imagine that this day and age in the Warriors? Like, players just are icy. Now, I haven't seen Draymond and KD in the locker room because I haven't been there. But they're two spots from each other. So I really want to see how this plays out. And so far from like how it sounds, man, I'm just saying this now. I really have gained a lot of, respect for KD and how he's handled this. And I've always respected Draymond, but really.
Why is that?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, interesting.
How many people would respond this way? How many people would be this willing to turn around and say, all right, I'll do my best to, to move forward.
But is he?
I mean, would you think they'd be talking?
That's
like
true.
The next game, like Draymond's talking and they're walking and they're patting each other and they're talking and they're laughing. I thought it was going to take KD a week, you know?
Well, Marcus, what was he going to do otherwise?
Same thing Monte did. Like, just not talk to you, you know? You don't have to laugh on the bench. You don't have to, like. So when I think Draymond was coming down the break, he messed up the pass and he turned it over. It's like a second straight turnover. KD, like, said something to him, patted him on the chest and ran the other way. He didn't have to do that. He could have just ran the other way, right? But there's an effort from KD to be amenable, so to speak. Well, I mean, you know those guys who know how to take over the whole room with their mood. And Monte was like that. Baron was like that. Steven Jackson was like that. You know, I'm sure if you've been in any long-term relationship, you know what that's like, right? Where somebody's like, okay, you still mad? Like, you still tripping? Like, he's made the, from what I can see on TV and stuff, he's made the visible effort to, like, move forward. And maybe I thought it would take him longer to get to that point than it has. So for me, that's like, all right, I respect that.
But I guess that's kind of what KD is as a person and how he always is, though, right? Like, he always wants to be loved, right? I guess, like, that's the only thing that you could say that KD has ever wanted. I guess there was a certain point where, like, hey, maybe we'll go to the Knicks. Maybe he doesn't care about championships that much, or vice versa. That's kind of why he went to the Warriors. But I guess at the end of the day, that kind of common theme for KD is that he always wants to be loved. So I guess that could kind of explain that's why he's acting this way. But it's also like he's also not playing very well at the same time.
I was going to say I have a different take than you guys. I think he's making the effort because he is. That's just
what else
who
is he going
to
do?
That's just who he is. Like, he's not going to, you know, do the ultra dramatic demonstrative thing.
LeBron shit.
Yeah, but like his play also, I know when he's engaged and when I'm watching a dude who's going out there and just like shooting, not really interested in making the extra effort plays that he'll do when he's like
that's
really
what you
into
saw last night.
That's what I saw. Yeah.
Against San Antonio?
Yeah, I just saw a dude who's just kind of going out there a little bit. I mean,
That's true. That's KD, though. Like, he can go out there and drop 28, 7, and 7, right? And he'll just be like, he don't really look like he was that into it. I mean, are we wrong? Like, that's kind of the vibe. And if that's the case because he's tired, that's fine. But it also doesn't seem like.
Man, he was making passes. He was driving and kicking. He was attacking the rim after shots stopped falling. That's not really a guy who's checked. If he just kept jacking three, I'd be like, all right, but. And look, maybe some of it was he wasn't getting the calls, he was getting frustrated, but
sure. Clearly
he started attacking the rim, like, let's trying to get the win. And maybe that's because, too, he knows, like, look, if we lose this game, it's on me. Like, I was supposed to. But, I mean, I see there's definitely an impact in this game. Like, there's no question. And, you know, I just tend to look at these things through like, personal relationships. I feel like what happens in the NBA locker room, what happens in professional locker rooms, is much more like a family than it is like a business. It's much more like, you know, personal relationship than it is like a professional one. Because they're so close, you know, like they get naked together and shower. Like, you know what I'm saying? They know each other's family business and all. Like, I mean, Tim is my guy.
Yeah, it's a little different than me talking to.
We don't hang out. Me and Tim don't. Like, Tim ain't coming to my house for Thanksgiving. You know, he can, but like
Sam not coming to mine either.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a colleague thing there. These dudes, their wives hang out. They just become family. So for me, that relationship just feels much more familial. So I feel like if it were me and my wife, you know, like the vibe is just gonna be jacked up for like weeks. You know, till she like, all right, I'm ready to now start acting like. You can work your way back. And for me, he just did that immediately. And I don't know, like, if Steph had done it, I know somebody would have been like, see, this is why Steph is the greatest human in the world. Right?
That's true. I mean, he did get all the credit just for sitting in between him on the bench, pretty much.
And laughing, right? Yeah. No question.
How much of him enjoys that, or does he even? That like he knows that he gets that because there's got to be part of Steph that's like, hey, this is kind of me, right? Like I'm unselfish. He takes pride in that, I'm sure. But how much is he kind of enjoying like, hey, yeah, I'm going to get credit? Because when Steph's back on the court, everything's going to be fine, at least in those moments, at least on the court. So he's going to get all that credit. How much does he enjoy that at the expense of someone like Kevin Durant, who obviously sees people like Colin Cowherd calling him essentially not a leader?
I don't know if Steph enjoys it. I know he knows he'll get the credit, but I really do think in this situation, I feel like he really thought the season was like in jeopardy. I don't think it was a matter of like, hey, this is my chance to shine. I think it was, I'm not about to let these dudes ruin my championship run, right? Huh. I think that Steph is a super competitor, so. That's the sense that I get is that, I mean, look, I tried to talk to him for the story about how great he was, and he wanted no parts of it. Right? So I was like, come on, Steph, this is a hype piece. But I really think he's like, if you're looking at the principal parties involved, I think he really was like, I got to do something because this could derail our season, and we don't want to derail our season. And, you know, I'm not about to let these two go down like that. And, you know, what the interesting thing about all this is it really underscores Steph and Draymond's relationship. I mean, those two, like, those are the two right there. Like, that's the That's the real.
It's the yin and the yang of the Warriors right there.
Yeah, like it's those two. And maybe that'll change at some point. But I think that relationship ended up being really big this time around. Because no matter what they say about, no matter what is happening, they all have to look Steph in the eye. And it's hard to look that dude in the eye and just be like, I don't really care what happens to you, when all he's done is showing you he cares what happens to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be a sociopath to look at Steph and be like, yeah, I know you've done all of this and you've been everything I needed you to be, but I don't care if I screw you in this.
I'm disappointed. It's like, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed. Yeah. So I just feel like he's got those relationships with each one of them where he could say, man, what about the pact you and I have? And then go to the other one. What about the pact you and I have? Like the one we made unofficially. Can we honor that? And by honoring that, you kind of honor the team pact. So I think his role in this was much more like, you know, like it was necessary. It wasn't like if he didn't do it, hey, maybe this. What if he doesn't go on that road trip? And who does it then? Who steps up and says?
DeMarcus.
Yeah, it's Cousins. It's Boogie. That's who it is, really. And it becomes his team. And then he's like, man, why am I doing all this for $6
million? Like, that's facts. Really. That's facts. I mean, so that's kind of double-edged, right? So you're kind of saying that some of what Draymond said definitely affected KD, but part of it's, I guess, a little bit overblown because they're still going to play together at least for this season to get that title.
Look, I don't think it's overblown. I think when they decided to suspend him and make it public, they blew it up. So we didn't blow it up. Matter of fact, I went to sleep that night not thinking it was a big deal.
I texted Marcus the next morning. I was like, yo, I woke up this morning. I was about to read The Athletic. I was about to learn some stuff. Marcus hits me and goes, nah, man, I wasn't even there. I was like, well, then it must not have been important. And like 2 hours later, Draymond gets suspended and Marcus writes like 1,000 words and a bunch of stuff that happened in the locker room.
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought it was just like a regular thing. I thought the next day would be like, yeah, this is what we do. And we weren't privy to all of the stuff. And, like, I mean, and in a sense, the Warriors said, hey, this is a big deal. Maybe you should investigate, Marcus. I mean, that's the best that I got. I mean, that's basically what they said to everybody. Because now once you get suspended, it's like, oh, no. And I know some of the stuff came out, what he said, but – I mean, they almost said, yo, this is huge. I mean, that's what they said. So from that sense, I don't think it was overblown. And I also feel like because people respond a certain way, like they handled it pretty well. Okay, does that mean we shouldn't have blown it up? That means that we didn't give it the proper coverage because they handled it well and like stamped it out pretty quickly? Because we've seen these things happen and it don't always work that way. Right, we've watched it happen, and it doesn't work out that way. There's a team across the water or across the parking lot that you know what I'm saying, like it just doesn't always work out where people come together and do the right thing. So I don't think it was overblown, but I don't think that means they can't overcome it. You know, and I feel like they are overcoming it. So I don't think those two are mutually exclusive.
So I want to go back to kind of the piece you wrote right after it happened, which Ethan, by the way, called the article of the season. You can rub that into him. He said that about your piece. But this one part just stood out to me the whole time where you're saying the general consensus was Green was wrong for going so hard at Durant instead of having a hard but civil conversation. But the general consensus was the concerns about what he was saying were not off base. In other words, everyone was feeling it. Draymond was just,
he's an asshole.
He was the only one who's saying it. And then he picked the worst time to say it. So my question is just general, like, how do you come back from that conversation where it's like, we all kind of think you're checked out on us?
By saying he's not. And look, I don't even know if they really think he's checked out. Just from what I got is everybody knew that, I mean, he made it very clear that, hey, he's keeping his options open. And the message, You got to look at who's on this team too. You're looking at guys who have taken pay cuts. You're looking at guys who've signed for multiple years.
KD's taking pay cuts.
Yeah, he did. He did. That's what. In all of this, I don't really know what KD's done wrong. And I even asked several people, like, so what do you expect him to do? You know, like, I don't know what you expected him to do besides just take a deal he didn't want, right? So I think people were aware that this might be the last time, that this might be the last run. I do think Draymond was most affected by it, probably because of free agency, also because he's a dude that he's going to give you all he's got. He's going to give you everything. He's going in the alley with you, and he kind of needs to know you with him. I just feel like if KD, you know, addresses it, he'll be like, yeah, he's with us right now. He's with us for the season. It was it any different with Andre last year? Or not last year, 2 years ago when he was last year and then went pimping Houston and Sacramento for contracts?
It is different because
– There's no question it's different.
But all those dudes –
They could treat it the same.
True, but all those dudes wanted to stay with the Warriors if they got their number met, which, you know, any rational person's like, yeah, that's fair. Lacob will drive over a truck of money to KD's.
So you
got to
talk
right
about
now.
That. So you got to talk about that, right? I think, Sam, that's your point.
Management
will do anything to do that. I think they're kind of annoyed at that, I think is the point.
Like, can you just imagine that, though? If you're Draymond, and this is me in my armchair psychologist, I'm set up right at the mall at Bayfair, right next to the the Annie Ann's pretzels and the champs. Look, if you're Draymond and you basically built this thing from the ground up,
yes.
it all happened with you. You've poured your everything into it, and you know this is where you want to be. And and management is like, yeah, we can give you, you know, we can give you an extension, but you're not gonna get the full max, and you may not even be here. But it depends on what Kevin Durant does.
Yep.
Like that might.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. Like I built this, you know, and I'm like, and here's what I think. I really do believe this. Let's say if KD had told everybody, yeah, man, I'm coming back. Like, I'm gonna do this another 1 year deal because I need I want to get
full
the Supermax next year,
yeah.
Right? So I'm gonna do one more 1 year deal, and then I'm signing. We about to have a party. We gonna run 10 years straight on them. Like, if he said that, then I think Draymond is like, all right, like, well, he's in, Steph's in, Clay's in, I'm in. Like, we good. I think it's the uncertainty that makes it like, hold on, like, why is he not with us, right? It's like, what do we have to do more to make him say this is where he wants to be? And all of that could just be, I think most of that is just Draymond. I think the rest of them are like, look, Kevin Durant, you can do what you want to do. Would I have done it different? Perhaps, but
they get
Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're Kevin Durant. You've earned this. And I just think Draymond is one of them dudes like, hold on. I also think he got embarrassed in the moment too and went to the thing that he thought would hurt Kevin the most. Right?
Yeah, and Draymond, you know what, Draymond, like I feel like he's the type of person, he's probably right in what he said to KD, but he was probably like that Paul Pierce trash talk, like how he was saying to Paul Pierce, we're like, you know, Draymond, like you make sense, but God, you're such a dick about it.
He's
like,
going
it was just
to,
so
he's trying
painful.
To hurt you, right?
Yeah, it's so painful.
He's going for the jugular. Like, that's – I mean, it's who he is, right? It's why you want him on your team. But
that is true.
Like, he's – that's Draymond. Like, he's going for the jugular. And here's why I think they'll survive this is because he also goes way the other way. Like, he does just as much for you. You know what I'm saying? So I think they'll have time to kind of mend that fence. Look, bottom line is Kevin Durant is a beast. All right, and everybody right. knows it. So if he says, I want to stay, all right, they'll be happy to stay. But I do think – so here's the thing, and Tim Kawakami said this the most. Like, it's a situation similar to LeBron where, like, LeBron kind of – everything is waiting on him. But the other players are all-stars. Like, it's not like Iman Shumpert. You know, it's not a bunch of dudes who are like, yeah, LeBron. It's not James Jones, right, where it's like, look, as long as you want to stay, we with you. And if you know, when you're ready to leave, we're going to do something else. But these are other dudes who are like, man, I'm a star too. Like, I'm not just, you know, like even Kyrie was like, yeah, I'm out. I'm not waiting on this dude to, like, determine my career with his moves. I'm going to make my own move. So I do think it's a little bit different situation when you have all-stars. Like, as good as Kevin Durant is, his teammates are not scrubs who have to just wait on his every move. Like, they'll be pretty good, too. I think Draymond was expressing that point. Like, and I think all of that stemmed from that. Even the turnover, it's like, all right, I messed up, right? I turned it over. But don't act like me pushing the ball is like this forbidden idea in the clutch. Like, I'm not a scrub. I can push the ball. I can start the break. I can make the play. If you run with me, I probably would have hit you. Like, I think that's his mindset. It's like, I'm not out here. Like, I'm not a scrub. I'm an all-star. I can do this.
Well, he wrote about that. I mean, Tim wrote about that last season too. And he kind of saying like, the Warriors are the Warriors, and when you think of the Warriors and how they became who they are, that's Steph, that's Draymond, that's Clay, and then you have that KD piece, which, I mean, honestly, made them unstoppable, right? They were never going to lose the last two titles. Without him, they may lose one. There was a chance of that happening with him, completely unstoppable. Regardless of that, though, he still runs a different type of offense. And part of that kind of reared its ugly head against Houston, right? And so that's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, they may change that offense a little bit to appease to him, and that's the difference between him and the rest of the team. I guess that's another part of the disconnect. And it kind of showed in that moment where Draymond was like, dude, I'm not driving to shoot the ball. Everybody knows Draymond's not shooting the ball when he's pushing it. He's pushing that thing to pass to KD for a wing three. And I don't think that's something KD will ever understand. But, I mean, he doesn't really have to because he's good enough to not. But I guess that's the difference.
I mean, I think he will understand, though. Like, I do. Like, he did when they screamed at him in Memphis. Look, I do think there's a sense of this. And, look, Draymond is the same way. Like, hey, man, I may yell at you, right? And I may bark back if you yell at me. But in the end, it's all just me. Like, working this all out, it's not that big of a deal, right? I do think there's a little bit at the KD. Like, look, I may not like it. I may pout, right? I may disagree with it. But, dude, I'm not out here. I don't know. I'm not out here, like, crying because you're not running offense how we're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do feel like over the course of a season, there's a clash that will happen. But if KD said, I'm taking my $221 million at the end of this year, who's going to be surprised? Like, yeah, I know I don't like when I don't get the ball that much or when we run or when we making passes just to make passes. But that don't mean, you know, like it's a deal breaker for me. Like, see, and that's the part where I can get maybe it's a little frustrating because you really just don't know. Like, you just don't know with him. And that's because – like, he probably hasn't made that clear. But if he just came back and re-signed and said, yeah, man, no, I don't like these parts, but that's cool, too. Like, I'm cool with parts I don't like. And, yeah, you're going to hear from me. Right? I'm going to say something. I'm going to get an attitude, right? Yeah, but that's just part of dealing with me. And everybody has those elements. So I do feel like when this thing gets to chase, it will probably be a repackaging anyway if he comes back. And it'll be... And the Warriors basketball that that we know is gonna be different. It's gonna have to be a new core, partly because like you'll have this central figure who will be the highest paid player on the team, highest paid player in the league, and he might have some say now, right? It ain't gonna be like, hey, I'm the outsider, I can't tell y'all what to do. It's like, no, here's what we do. So I don't know that he's saying, I'm going to leave because I'm not getting shots. Like, I don't know that his unhappiness about it or whatever in the moment. I've just seen the dude always bounce back and chill. Like, I've seen him not be happy and then bounce back and chill. Like, he probably complains more than you would think, right? or you know what I'm saying? Like, he probably, like, is going at people or listens to the outside more than you would like. But in the end, he does like Draymond does. He bounces back, and he's back playing ball again. Like, that's what we see. I don't know that it's a guarantee that in the end it won't just be that too, and he'll just be right back with the Warriors.
Unreadable is what I'm getting. But and actually, that's actually what I wanted to get next to. I cannot figure out. It hit me during the Houston series last year, and it's kind of something I just noticed the whole way. I have no read on how KD and Kerr, like, their relationship in general. Like, I know how Kerr and Draymond's relationship. It's exactly how, you know, it should be. And then, like, Steph and Kerr's is, and Clay and Kerr's is are pretty obvious in their own ways too, but I can't get a read on how KD and Kerr feel about each other beyond the fact that they're both, you know, generally polite people and say the right things publicly. I, like, there was a whole thing in the Houston series where he's, you know, trying to tell KD to trust his teammates like Jordan. And then, you know, KD is the only player who will kind of constantly be like making comments such as, you know, like, you know, Warrior basketball is 5, 6, 7 passes in a possession, but, you know, we're not getting anything from it. We're just kind of passing for the sake of passing. And then it's just guys passing it back to me or Clay at the end of the shot clock.
Well, last year, when what was it last year when he said, Steve was like, I don't think we cared.
Yeah, the Indiana
and
game.
And he was like, you know, we got out strategied or something, or we got out.
Yeah.
Came back like, yeah, KD will do that. It is an interesting read on their relationship. It's a tough read because I don't think any of them before this last incident have been to the point where they tell each other the utmost truth.
Okay.
And maybe they do, and I just don't see it. But
like, there's some eye rolling with KD with some of Kerr's lineups,
well,
and
didn't,
like, long
didn't KD
game choices.
Say Jerebko should have started?
Yeah. Yeah, that was
Jerebko
just
Jerebko should have started?
In
like
the Milwaukee,
earlier this season.
In the Milwaukee game when they started Jordan Bell and Damian Jones together against Giannis, which, like, everyone knew that was just not going to work. And, you know, what happened is, you know, they got blown out. KD was the next game made sure
exactly.
to, like, praise, like, well, you know, it's good that coach put Jerebko in with the more space, and like, it makes more sense for how we play.
He'll do
right.
that, man. He is right. The dude knows,
yeah.
He knows basketball. Here's the thing. I think with KD, like, I think that Milwaukee game, I think he wanted to go with Giannis. I think there was a chance for like a marquee game, for a fun game. And it became a strength in numbers game. And he didn't really want I think the sense in the locker room was this was, yeah, we're hyped for this game. And
it's hard to get hyped over 82,
yeah.
Particularly when you've accomplished what they have. So it's like those little moments for Steve to kind of just like, well, we're just going to strengthen numbers it because it's November. Kind of it seems to bother KD more than anyone. Like the you know, like Steph, Clay, those guys, they just kind of like, well, this is just what we do.
Because KD cares about what people on Twitter got to say. That's why. Because that he cares about what Andy has to say on Twitter. Who cares what Andy has to say on Twitter? That's why he'd be taking those games so seriously. Well, I'm doing third person. Of course I care, but that's me, man. Who cares about me?
You don't take that as a compliment that your voice matters?
To him? I don't know. I feel like it shouldn't matter to him. I don't know if I take that as a compliment because I feel like that's one of the things that will drive him out of Golden State.
Andy feels guilty he's driving KD out.
And at the same time, I'm like, you know what? That's just how I feel. I mean, if you go, you know, that's just how it is. But that's one of those things that's like, that's why Steph and Clay probably don't care. They're like, I mean, I guess Steve Kerr blew the game, but, you know, if we play him in the finals, we're probably going to win.
Basically, right? There's this idea of like, we're not doing this in the playoffs, so can we just play like we're playing in the playoffs?
I think that's the most infuriating part. It's like you get that lineup out there and they're all smart enough to know, like, Steve, there's no circumstance in which you're throwing this in a game that matters. What are we doing here?
And look, isn't that the role of great players will always like have an issue with being over or being coached, like not being coached, not put in a position, but where it becomes a okay, coach, like chill, like at some point you kind of just got to let me do this, like from back in 2015 finals where it's like when Curry's thing to Curry's like, look, dude, I understand back screens, move the ball, but at some point I just need to take Dellavedova. He's right here in front of me. Right, like let's not overthink this. So I do think there's some great player elements. Here's what I think. I really believe this. If KD signs, all of you will look like idiots because you overblew everything along the way. Be like, and he literally could be like, I don't even know what y'all was talking about. I was gonna sign the whole time. And then what will you say, like,
Marcus? We gotta do a pod every week. Come on. Like, this is what we got to do here, man. Right, this is all we can talk about. We're not going to talk about, you know, Quinn Cook being good.
Pods every week.
This is what we do. We got pods every week. Hit the subscribe button, Light Years Podcast, Apple Store. Come on. Or iTunes, whatever.
That's cool. I'm just saying, be ready to eat it if that dude signs, if you take the money.
Listen, like, I don't know what all right, we'll pivot to back screens next week. Stay in a safe space.
There was me and Sam were legitimately so happy the first 2 weeks of the season because Steph and KD looked the greatest that they've ever looked together. Like the chemistry that they had was.
Man, I'm working on a piece about it. I was like, yo, let's go. And then, do you see them like, you know, being cool again?
It's probably a better question for you, but you did say they're kind of like family. If they're family, and wasn't Draymond like the one that's great friends with KD before he even joined the Warriors, right? And so like, it'd be kind of tough to see them fall apart, not like as teammates, but just like as friends in real life. Like that'd be pretty rough, I think, for that to happen over what?
I don't know. I do feel like, you know, as having wrote the biography on Kevin Durant, I do feel like he is well versed at dealing with complex relationships. He has some experience in that department.
Have you finished that book yet, by the way?
I finished the first manuscript and now I'm in the process of doing edits. So
is that gonna come out before is that gonna be before the season ends then? Like, are you gonna have to stop?
It's gonna be before the season ends.
Oh, you can't delay it. You can't wait until like the Warriors blow a 3-0 lead with KD or something like it was the first time you wrote about Steph.
Nah, I can't delay it.
If you can talk about it, if you can't, you can't. But what is it about KD that allows him to maneuver through difficult relationships?
I mean, I think at his core, he's like just a good, humble dude. Like, and he just wants, like you say, he wants to be loved and he wants to be cool with people. And I think that's something he's always wanted his whole life. I think he's a dude that's just like, he's had so much turmoil, like he just prefers peace. I really do believe it. I mean, think about it. Like where I'm from, you know, many people don't know their fathers or their fathers disappeared. And once he out, like you hate him. You know, I know many dudes, like I'll never talk to him. This dude's dad left, came back. And now one of his closest people is his father. You know, so he's like, I kind of would rather have my daddy than have the hate. You know what I'm saying? Like that's that's somebody who's thinking like, hold on, like I understand how to cherish what I have instead of what I miss. Like that's what I'm saying. Like these dudes have been through things in their lives that are just different. And this is all great for us on Twitter and in the chat rooms and water cooler and it's fun. But they've been through stuff where it's like, all right, man, I can get through this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so part of me is just like, I feel like KD is just that. He's a lot like, you know, I think he's a very complex, multi-layered individual. And one of those layers is a lot like Seth. It's a lot like, hey, I just want everything to be cool. Let's be peaceable. Let's be a good example. Let's be kind to each other. Like there's that layer of KD, and you know I've seen it through his whole career. Remember before all this, he was just the humble superstar who's the anti-star at Oklahoma City, right? Like that part hasn't left, but I just think that wasn't all of him. and nobody saw it because he was in Oklahoma City. Right? And he was pretty good at hiding it in his own words. But I do think that's still there in him. And the things that he's been through in his life, like, he still somehow manages
to want to just be – he just wants to be, like, at peace and in good relationships. Like, I think that's one of the draws of the Warriors. Like, he was like, yo, man, look, I don't have to deal with this, the strife. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, they play together. Like, there was a part of him that was drawn to the AAU elements of the Warriors. You know, the cupcakes and the pizza after the game. And, you know, they got that whole vibe, right? And I think he was drawn by that. So I do think there's a part of KD that's like that.
And it's actually, you know, once you get older and you get out all past the jokes, it's actually pretty admirable. Because look, why he just did fire on Draymond?
I'm surprised about that. I just, people are going to say that he's soft, right? Like, that's people's response. Like, they're going to be like, oh, why is he yelling at the fan? Why he's not yelling at Draymond? But there's got to be something else there.
I mean, he'll yell at Draymond. He yelled at him. Like, I don't think he got yelled at him, the problem. Like, he said something. I mean, he started it with yelling at Draymond.
You know? But, like, he could have came back at him with, like, a response that I'm sure would have made Draymond more pissed. Like, there's a multitude of things.
Yeah. No question. I mean, look.
That's the easy answer. Bing, bing, what? Nah, but I do think there's an element of KD that just likes,
that's why he likes basketball.
Like, man, I hear him all the time. I just want to play hoop. But that was his whole life. Like, I'm going to stay away from the drama by playing hoop. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use hoop as my escape.
That's why you hear him all the time. I just want to play basketball.
Because that's just, there's a core element to him that doesn't want all that mess. He don't want all that.
You know, he don't want all the mess with it. So I feel like
there's a part of him that could actually figure out a way to make up with Draymond.
You heard it here first on Light Years Podcast. It's Marcus Thompson. KD is signing the max. You know, like, you say it that way, and it makes me feel like, damn, it's just not that fun to joke about KD now that you say that. So I appreciate
that's
you.
Great. That's my whole life. I just wrote a book on a dude. I'm like, yo, this is like, yeah. I don't understand what's happening here. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's not as funny anymore when you know what he's been through.
Yeah, like, it's just you kind of look at him and you see, like, the honesty, and you see, like, the just how he feels and the way he talks. Like, you kind of, I mean, I'm never gonna understand that, but you can kind of say, like, okay, like, this is where he's coming from, right? And it's not like he's a bad person. He's never done anything bad off the court. He's never done anything outside of, like, go at a 13-year-old on IG. Like, what's the worst he's ever done, right? Like,
really?
There's nothing. Like, even, like, the Draymond, who's gotten arrested for things, like, well, Clay and Steph, there's nothing. But with, like, other NBA players, there's always going to be, like, there may be something. With KD, is nothing. Like, you're right. He is a good dude. It's just, I guess it's tough, but... You know, the other question is, where else can he go after the season where he fulfills that part of himself that he thinks he may need?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, the more I think about it, where is he going? Like, for real, where does he go? Where does he go? And he looks at that place and is like, yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah, this is a better fit right here.
Obviously, LA, like, with LeBron.
I don't think that's it. If he's leaving, right, especially for the theory that, like, this will never be his town because it's
– Oh, yeah.
How you going to go play next to LeBron? Like, that would be the ultimate – like, if you thought Steph's stands were bad, what happened? You did. Now you're going to a place with Steph – with LeBron stands and Kobe stands together? Like, KD stands won't have a chance.
Wow. All five of them, man. Sheesh.
That's about 20.
they're rising up now, though. But, hey, we got to – Marcus, I really appreciate you coming on, being the armchair psychologist for KD, and kind of turning Light Years Podcast into KD fans.
Hold on. That's it for real?
What do you want to talk about?
Man, we ain't talk about basketball.
Listen – we were so we were there was nothing that made us more excited than KD Steph. And then after the last week, me and Sam were just like, you know what? I think we'll just talk KD for the next month.
So I want to hear what y'all think now. Like
Sam has never been more mad about Kerr's offense.
I'm infuriated. Never been. I actually was gonna get into this, but we got all side tangent on KD. I guess we can go into it now.
Please.
There's no reason the offense should be this bad without Steph. There's layers to, like, they shouldn't be as good as they are with Steph, because Steph is one of the best players, offense players of all time. But there's a huge gap between that and this 1992 offense that Steve Kerr is running. And it's, and I think that's what's infuriating for me. I'm like watching it, and KD called it out. Just let him run more pick and rolls. Like, maybe put more of your shooters on the floor. Do something different than trying to run the triangle, which devolves into KD and Clay post ups.
I don't understand why he's not starting Quinn Cook. Like, that's defense. For me, it's like.
Defense.
Okay. What does defense matter if you can't score?
I think Kerr thinks that KD's like Steph, right? In that, like, he's a great offensive player, like, things are going to happen. But they built this team around Steph, where guys have to do different things. And me and Sam were talking about how Steph moves nonstop. KD's not that guy. He can't be that guy.
He's 7 feet tall. He's not going to be able to make, like, quick cuts like Steph. It's physics. Doesn't
give him the LeBron offense. You know, put shooters around him. Let him cook.
Yeah, that's what I would say put Cook in the game. I wonder what Steve normally has, like another motive, right? And maybe it's just, hey, look, it's fine that we lose these games. It's fine that it's a struggle, but we're finding Jarebko. We're finding Looney. Like, we're finding Jordan Bell, Damian Jones. Like, maybe so when they come up big in game five of the West Finals,
oh God,
like, he'll be like, oh, I told you, I'm playing this since November. Right? But I really do wonder, after three games, like after two games of, like, porous offense that can't shoot a three, like, he really sounds like Denzel in Remember the Titans, where it's like, man, we got six plays. It's like Novocaine. Just keep running them. It always works, right? It's like,
I think that's
just like, man, we got to move the ball more. We got to get better.
That's the frustrating part is, as of this morning, Clay leads the NBA in mid-range shots. It's like watching the Mark Jackson offense again. On the one, the messed up part is some of the shots Clay's are hitting are just silly. So it's like enjoyable to watch it, but it's not good basketball. To just watch everything devolve into Clay taking a turnaround 18-footer.
What if this is lowering Clay's price? Like, what if he's keeping it so he can say, hey, Clay?
It's not going to matter. Someone's throwing the max at Clay, no matter what.
But the max won't be as high as what they can offer. There's always that middle ground, right? There's that middle space. So they could go half on the middle space. And still pay more than what anybody else could offer.
and then what are they gonna offer Draymond? The mid level? Is that what that's what they got left for Dray, right? So that's one of the things where, like, and Sam talks about this a lot, the Kerr's ego. I'm a huge Steve Kerr guy. I think, like, his thing of, like, allowing or, like, making Andre Iguodala realize that, hey, coming off the bench is actually a great thing for us. Like, that and coaching, managing Draymond and all those things makes him, like, a top three coach in the NBA. But his, like, light years thing of, hey, everybody's going to shoot threes, I'm going to shoot wide open range jumpers. Listen, that's, like, one of the things where it's you are not the offensive generational talent here. Steph is, right? The only reason why this offense is as great as it is your system is fine, but it's also because of Steph. So you can't just not adapt to the players when the players change, I think is the issue. And I think that's the ego problem that Sam talks about. That's like, you got to adapt to the players. You don't have a player adapt to you. Look at Greg Popovich. He's changed his offensive system like four times. And so that's kind of the problem too, I guess. I mean, until Steph comes back.
And also, like, when the defense adapts to you, right? Like, everybody knows what the Warriors are doing now. All they're doing, like, everybody doesn't have the personnel to do it, but we saw Houston do it last year. Man, switch everything, overplay on the perimeter, force them to take inside shots inside the three-point line. And they're like, okay. You know? And there is an element of, yeah, to take what the defense gives you. That's great. But it's also not their character. It's not who they are. It's not why they're so incredible. If they're just going to take twos all game, they just become a really good 1980s basketball team, right? Like that's what they are. But this is 2018, and everybody's jacking threes. And Steve is betting, look, in the end, people said we were a three-point shooting team, and we weren't able to – and we show we were more than that, right? And they were wrong, and we show we were more than that. So I think he still believes three-point shooting teams don't win. I think he still believes that. And all these teams that are jacking up 53s, he's looking at it like, y'all think that's going to win, really? No, let me tell you what's going to win. Oh, defense is going to win, and offensive execution is going to win. Right? Like, I think
DeMarcus Cousins in the post is what you're telling me.
Basically,
that's why I didn't want Boogie, because it's just – I know exactly where this is going to go. I mean, Myers has joked about it, like, Steve, you have to let him shoot threes. That alone let me know Steve's first thought was, we're going to get him.
I'm going to shoot threes.
Yeah, you know, he's been doing this dumb three-point thing. I'm going to get him back in the post where he needs to be. And
you know that's coming. You know coming.
So that was one of the things where Popovich was like, yo, I hate threes. Like, that's not his thing.
Jack him. Yeah.
But let's jack him. Exactly. He was like, yo, let's chuck him. Like, and then they became, like, the most beautiful offense we've ever seen in basketball until the Warriors came along. But that was his thing. He was able to adjust. And if that's something that Kerr, I guess, struggles with, we'll see. But, I mean, I guess it'll never hurt him because they'll always have too much talent if and until, I guess, KD leaves.
But it does make you worry that he thinks it's the execution as opposed to the talent. Like, I don't know how you can credit execution when a game devolves into, like, KD making 15 difficult long twos just because he can. You know, like, is that execution or is that just pure talent?
I mean, they completely violate. I always wonder what Jim Barnett is thinking, because I straight learned basketball watching Jim Barnett. And one of the things that I've learned is
– not from Fitz.
At the end of the games, Fitz wasn't around when I was growing up. It was Papa. Steve Barnett. At the end of games, you want high percentage shots. And they don't even look for them. It's like they're not – it's like, nah, let's not get a high percentage shot. Let's just get a shot. And maybe that's what he's saying. We're not getting great shots. But all they're doing is, hey, when that ball hits the hands of one of the non-stars, let's overplay the stars. Let's make it harder for them to get the ball back. That's all they're doing. That's it. And now the non-star has to make a play, which is exactly, if you're the defense, then you're like, yeah, that's what we're doing. So all that's going to happen in the playoffs, though, is going to be like, all right, let's go pick and roll. And then none of it matters anyway, because they do have the best talent. Let's go. All right. KD, Steph, do your thing. All right, let's unleash it now. And we thought at one point that would hurt them because they hadn't run it, and it just hadn't hurt them yet. It's going to take a loss. It's going to take a loss to make an adjustment, I think. I feel like it's going to take something significant for them to say, all right, let's retweak this. Or a locker room revolt where they're like, look, we're done with the 88 passes.
Hey, that's why we were talking about, like, we were enjoying that KD said, hey, Kerr made the right move by going with Jerebko for spacing. Like, he's the only guy, like, even Draymond hasn't really said anything, at least to the public, like, hey, he'd rather do it this
Draymond,
way, right? They
Draymond
at least
likes the passing because everyone knows,
but
Draymond
he's the guy.
Yeah,
right.
No question.
But KD speaks the facts about it, and Steph would never, and Klay would never. And so,
yeah, nah, Steph ain't gonna get coached like that, not publicly. But KD will call it out in a heartbeat, no question. And you know what? That's good. Absolutely, it's good. Because it's how things are gonna change too. Like, it's how it's gonna happen. And look, the truth is, Steve is probably right, man. Who cares in November? like, who really cares? Except for, you know, people who really want to see Warriors basketball all year. Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, but who really cares? But I think they do care. I do think they want to have some fun, and they do want to play a style that they like to play. And
so I feel like that might actually be getting to KD maybe more than anyone, in the sense of, like, you know, Kerr wants him to be the Spurs. Yeah, it's just it's his ideal and all that sort of, you know, strength in numbers, like, it, you know, everyone plays, blah blah blah. And I think it's harder for KD than anyone to kind of buy into that over 82. Just like you're saying, like, I just kind of want to hoop and enjoy myself a little bit, you know, with like a matchup against Giannis instead of like making this like, you know, a job, like, no, we're going to play Jordan Bell and, you know, you don't get to go at this guy. And I think that's kind of where Steve might have to, like, you have to give guys like a little rope to enjoy themselves in November, in December.
I also think, you know, Bob Myers gets a little bit of the of the smoke too, because, you know, KD said last year, this team is built, you know, built around Steph, is built for Steph. And it's like, I mean, even though the situation came about in a surprising manner, we all knew at some point these dudes were going to sit out, right? We knew at some point they were going to rest these guys. That was the plan, was to keep everybody's minutes down, keep people fresh, and you were going to need that bench. And now you're looking, and you don't have playmakers, you don't have shooters, right? It's like, come on. And Jarepko has been, like, you know, a really good find, like a really good pickup, somebody they wanted for a while, and he worked, but.
Shout out McKinney, too.
Yeah, McKinney. I mean, McKinney's come back to earth a little bit.
Right.
You know, I didn't think
he was going to shoot 60% from three all year.
The whole season, yeah.
But you know what it is? Like, they kind of got stuck with Cousins quote unquote stuck. And because Cousins was like, hey, I'm going to come to you. And they couldn't use that mid level on, you know, someone like Tyreek, even though I don't think Tyreek would have taken it, right? But, or some other wing, right? And I guess, like, the other problem is, which I thought he made a mistake, was they wanted to go young. Alphonso McKinney, whomever it is, and they should have signed someone like Jamal Crawford. I know you've talked about this a million times, but I agree. I'm like, dude, I don't care if Jamal Crawford's 45. He probably can't hoop no more, but at least he's someone that can get a shot off and, like, not dribble around and you know, play hot potato on the perimeter for, you know, every 6 minutes off the bench, right? So, like, at least he was someone that could get some type of shot. So I always felt like they should have got someone like that. Like a Jamal, but I guess McKinney's cool. He was fine when he was playing next to Steph, but this is kind of what happens when those guys are out.
Exactly, right? And, you know, I think if you throw, like, somebody like Jamal in there, now you got another ball handler. You got another guy who can
make
a shot. Yeah, who's not scared, who the defense will have to honor. I think it helps if Quinn Cook just becomes, like, a miniature Steph, like, play him like you would Steph, and not change. Like, it's just
right.
He's shown he can create off the dribble. He's shown he can get to spots on the court. He's got an array of shots. Just say, look, I know you won't be as good, but just do what Steph does. Like, put him out there and let him be that guy. He's had big games, but for some reason he gets out there and it's like he becomes, you know, a cog in the 5-6-7-8 passes to pass scheme. Like at least set some back screens or something, right? Like, don't just stand out there. I feel like if they used him that way, I feel like that it would be better. And that's why I would start him. Like, put him in. I know you're gonna pay a price on defense, but defense is not their problem.
Who cares? Ain't nobody play defense anyway.
Yeah, right. They need to score, and they play defense better when they score. So let them score.
When we got you on, so we got to ask, dude, what? So is Patrick McCaw? When is he gonna play in Luxembourg? Like where McKinney played, or what's gonna? When's he gonna play basketball again?
Will he play basketball again is a better question. But look, in the Warriors locker room, his number is still up. It's like him. I mean, technically, he and Damian Lee shares a locker. So it's interesting. But here's where it makes me think. Well, all of this makes me think that there's something bigger than basketball that's happening, and something that makes the Warriors say, "Look, like if he wants to come back, he can." Like, why would they do that if it's just basketball?
Ooh.
Right. Like, it makes me feel like they know something that we don't know. So it's like, all right, we're gonna keep our arm around this young man that we drafted, we built up, we're gonna support him. So it just feels like something has happened. So, and he's AWOL, so nobody will know really, but wow. I do know some people in the organization have talked to him finally, so there's movement, but geez, like at this point, I mean, how many other teams would just cut the dude?
Yeah. So, I mean,
there's also an irony to the fact that he won't solve any of the issues you guys are talking about. He's just like another version of Livingston, Iguodala.
That is true.
So, none of them at all.
I guess we were, at least I was kind of under the impression maybe he wanted more out of it or something like that. But if it's something that they're kind of thinking through with him on something that's not basketball, then that's something entirely different. So
that's what it feels like. That's the only explanation I have as to why.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we could trade him for a piece. Where are you trading him to? For what?
Yeah.
Like, unless you're making a bigger deal and you need a throw-in player, maybe that. But do you really? I mean, I guess you don't lose anything by keeping the spot. You're paying the same amount of money if you cut him or not. So, actually, no, he's not even under contract. You can't even do that right now. He has no deal. So you can't even really. Yeah, it's. I just feel like at this point they'd say, hey, man, you know, we're going to let you free, let you go do what you want to do. And they haven't done that. And from what I've heard, they're just probably trying to support him. So it feels like there's something else going on. Maybe we'll learn later. But Patrick McCall is a very private dude, so maybe we won't.
Is that how we gonna end the pod? That's how we gonna end the pod. Marcus, I appreciate you, man.
So thank you, man. I just remember when KD signs 5 years, $221 million, that I told you y'all overreacted.
I always like KD.
Yeah, you always like KD. Nah, no, for real. Gut check. Is he gonna sign? Is he coming back?
I think he will. I think he will. I've said that I only say that because I don't see him going anywhere else, and it doesn't make any sense. And here's the thing: if he signs, it can't be one-on-one, right? Like, I don't think he'd do it again. I think it'd be the max.
I don't think they'd offer it to him again.
I was actually wondering that. You think they would say, you're giving us multiple years, you're leaving? They wouldn't if he comes back to them and says, I want another 1-1, they wouldn't be like, all right, if that's what you want.
I mean, I think in the end they probably relent.
Right. But that's not what they want, for sure.
Yeah,
right.
But I think they at least want the 3 with the player option.
Right. Sam thinks he's going.
I do.
Sam thinks he's out. You think he's out?
I've changed my mind. I change my mind weekly. I'm probably gonna change my mind. Me 30 too. More times. I have no read. I actually, the only thing I feel confident about is, I don't think he knows. I don't think it's nearly as premeditated as
LeBron.
Well, not even that, but like, there's a perception he has a premeditated plan. Yep. I think he's just a dude with options who thinks, you know, who
let me this, see him. Yeah.
Yeah. This looks good to me this week. I don't know. Like, you know, we all daydream about new jobs. Like, oh man, how great would it be to work over there?
I don't
move
know
to
what
this
you're
city.
Talking about. I don't daydream about no other job.
Hey, me too, man. Come on, Sam. Not me, bro. Come on.
You know what I mean? yeah, he's just a man with options who likes to play his options.
I just wonder, my question would be, like, in the end, like, I'm with you, I fluctuate, man, he's gone. Nah, you know what, he's gonna stay. Then 2 weeks from now, I'll be like, yeah, he's gone. But I think in the end, it will be decided in July, like, what's the makeup of this team? How That's do they crazy. Pitch it to him in the future? And, like, what are his real options? We know what his presumed options are right now. What do they look like in July?
I do think you hit on something, a silent frustration over the fact that the Warriors haven't, like, built the team more around him. Not just him, but, like, adapted it more to, like, him and Steph as opposed to, like, you're fitting in on this team we created in 2014-15.
Yeah, I don't know that they can though, as long as he's
that's
on
true
the 1 years, right? They can't commit to any long term salary. They can't sign anybody for 3 years, which is, you know, how you get Tyreek. It's because now you're cutting into KD money. So I think when he's able to sign, they can say that.
He's gonna godfather it and have Draymond offed. Just traded. Trade for different players.
Yes, sir.
Get some KD fitting players.
Give me some Otto Porter. Give me some Kelly Oubre.
None of this matters anyway when they trade Clay and Draymond for AD. And then it's AD, Steph, and KD heading into Chase.
Just hey, come on. Steph and Wingspan. That's always been the game plan, right?
Always been the game plan. They're going to be like, duh, how y'all didn't know this already?
I've never been more happy if that happened. And actually, maybe not. But I like the idea.
Does that get him to stay?
That might get him to leave. He like, yo, another. They might like AD more than me.
Chill.
I mean, AD let Steph cook, man. AD just gonna roll to the rim. He gonna pop. You know, he not gonna handle. No, he not gonna ISO. You know, he just gonna let maximize Steph. You know, that's how it is. So, AD and Giannis, my guys.
And by the way, how you let Strauss take your hashtag misspell it and claim it as his own? Like he's trying to skirt copyright.
I got to trademark that thing. People tell me to trademark it, but I don't know.
You have it?
I don't know. Should I?
Yes. Logging on right now.
Sam's
smart. A guy
in my
office
hell
wears a Steph Better shirt that just someone else made and sold.
Man, I totally expect you to have a much better business than that.
Sam's the business guy. Sam's the business guy. He's told me to do it. I'll get my lawyers on it at some point. So
too late.
It'll be good. All right, Marcus, all right, man.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good one.